AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. Fantasy football season is here. A lot of you drafting over the course of the next week or so. We're here to help you and tell you who is being cut on NFL rosters today could affect the fantasy landscape. Also, we'll preview the Los Angeles Rams, who won the Super Bowl last year. And, of course, we have our headlines and everything else happening here on the show. Davis, a very busy day, I know, for you and for everyone else trying to figure out the new fantasy landscape with no huge players yet let go, but definitely impactful players that could end up starting on a fantasy football team for you this season.
Yeah, nothing, no big news items coming across the wire. Honestly, I would say in terms of the fantasy football landscape, the biggest thing.
Yeah, we have Davis figuring out audio issue here, but Davis is absolutely right. No question, there are so many players today and tomorrow looking for new jobs, and we're going to go through some of those players and tell you whether or not you should be drafting them in fantasy based on perhaps a new destination inside the top 200, some players outside the top 200 as well. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. The Angels last night beat the New York Yankees as Aaron Judge ended up hitting his 50th home run of the season. My gosh, on pace for somewhere between 56, 57. We'll see if he could end up doing it. By the way, Albert Pujols also hit his 694th home run. So we'll see if he gets to 700. Serena Williams advances to the second round of the U.S. Open. Very exciting finish for her. The Panthers trade for former second round draft pick wide receiver of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Laviska Shenault. Jimmy Garoppolo agrees to restructure his contract to remain with the San Francisco 49ers. But Davis, I think naturally we're all keeping an eye out today on the players who are getting cut. Now, the deadline is coming up, I believe, in about 25 hours, somewhere along those lines. I think 4 o'clock tomorrow, I think, is the deadline, if I'm not mistaken. But, Davis, who are some of the players that were cut since we left yesterday that may be fantasy relevant for this season that you thought was interesting?
I mean, a couple of the interesting notes here. O.J. Howard getting cut by the Bills just pretty much locks in Dawson Knox as a top tight end in fantasy football. Not really anyone who's going to bring him off the field. Sony Michel getting cut by the Dolphins is a fairly big deal for both Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert. Honestly, though, I would say the biggest impact we have seen today in terms of fantasy football ramifications is that Ronald Jones is not expected to be cut by the Kansas City Chiefs, being reported by multiple beat writers that Ronald Jones is going to remain on the Chiefs roster. Of course, Isaiah Pacheco has been one of the biggest risers in fantasy football over the last month of the season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire also went up a little bit, but does look like the Chiefs might even have four running backs active on game day. That is a huge headache for anyone who drafted any of them. You know, we could see CEH, Pacheco, and Ronald Jones all splitting the early down work with McKinnon playing on third down. So really, you know, it just kind of muddied up a situation that obviously lots of people are interested in because the Chiefs are going to score a ton of points.
Yeah, I think the other name that we just saw there on that graphic also is really interesting too, that Kenyon Drake looks like he's signing with the Baltimore Ravens, Davis. Now, I'm not really sure what to make of this. I'm not a Drake guy, so I don't really think it's a huge story, but I suppose that some people are wondering what that means in terms of health for J.K. Dobbins going into the season.
I mean, I would say that this is actually very similar to what happened to the Ravens last year. Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and Justice Hill all get injured last season, and they just brought in, you know, a cast of characters, Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell. They tried Tyson Williams, then they benched him. Justice Hill, you know, it's a mess. Definitely, I would say this seems that they are a little bit bearish on J.K. Dobbins being active and 100% good to go. Maybe even if he is active, he's only good for 8 to 12 touches per game and not a full workload. Gus Edwards is on the physically unable to perform list, which means he is not going to be active until at least week five of the NFL season. So would not be surprising to see this team kind of look like they did last year, where one guy's getting 8 carries, another guy's getting 5 carries, another guy's getting 5 carries. You know, maybe they even have 4 running backs active on game day because the Ravens hate to cut guys that they allocate draft capital on. They spent a 4th-round pick on Tyler Beatty out of Missouri. He has really not been very impressive in the preseason, but the Ravens are just one of those teams where if they draft you and they spend a pick on you, they are going to keep you on the roster. They're going to try and send you to the practice squad because they absolutely hate to cut draft picks. So they could have 4 running backs active on game day, very similar to the Chiefs, and it just makes it a huge headache. And does make me think Dobbins is being a little bit overdrafted right now because he is not going to be a comfortable start the first month of the season, I would imagine.
A couple of cuts in the last hour. I see David Cowboys Twitter is out in full force. Preston Williams, who was once upon thought about a potential really good receiver for the Dolphins, he has been cut. Of course, someone will pick him up for sure. And then the other name is, this just happened about 30 minutes ago, the Buccaneers waived Tyler Johnson. And so, again, I'm seeing all of Cowboys Twitter saying, claim him. But I think those two players will end up on rosters before the beginning of the season.
Yeah, Preston Williams and Tyler Johnson will for sure latch on somewhere. You know, Cowboys Twitter has wanted Will Fuller. Now they want Preston Williams. They want Tyler. Like, no one wants to go into the season.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Been watching Noah Brown and Simi Fehoko. So Cowboys Twitter, you know, pretty much any wide receiver that gets cut, they are going to be clamoring for him.
All right. We'll see if they get their way down to the Cowboys through waivers. We'll find out about that, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. So still a lot happening in the NFL, but our fantasy football previews continue as we take a look at the world champion Los Angeles Rams coming up next. What will their team look like in 2022 from a fantasy perspective? Davis and I will have that next for you. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Rams were the story of the NFL in 2022, mostly, or 2021, mostly because of their great wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, who had a historical season in both reality and fantasy. Davis, they acquired Matthew Stafford to, you know, take over the quarterbacking there for Jared Goff. And boy, that turned out to be the difference in winning a Super Bowl and getting knocked out before one. And this year they, you know, have that task of trying to get back there again, trying to win again. The interesting note, I guess, from their training camp is the fact that Stafford has had some elbow issues, I guess, is the best way to put it. They talked about monitoring him. And so has that affected you at all in your thinking of drafting Rams? Do you think he's okay? You think this is a much ado about nothing?
I mean, this was an injury that he was also dealing with last year. They were limiting him in practice. He wasn't going through, you know, the full walkthrough or anything. I think a lot of the times he wasn't practicing until Fridays, which I think with veteran quarterbacks generally ends up being okay. I'm not really worried about any of these guys. I think the Rams offense is, you know, pretty much all draftable at their ADPs, and Stafford probably has one of the more attractive ADPs in terms of pass-only quarterbacks. You know, he goes after Brady, right around Aaron Rodgers, right around Derek Carr, and I prefer Stafford to all those guys simply because I don't know how effective the Rams are going to be at running this season, and I also think, you know, Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, those are really good perimeter wide receivers. We'll see what ends up happening. Van Jefferson is dealing with a knee injury, and they kind of have a huge question mark between, you know, who's going to be their third wide receiver. Is it going to be Van Jefferson? Is last year's second round pick Tutu Atwell going to make his way onto the field at 155 pounds? Is converted tight end Jacob Harris going to be out there? You know, a lot of different guys who could play third wide receiver for them. Could just be we see a lot of Tyler Higbee, you know, 90-95% snap shares. But last year's Super Bowl champions have, I think, a fair few question marks in terms of who is going to get the ball on offense for them this year.
All right. So let's take a look at the average draft position according to the National Fantasy Football Championships for the Los Angeles Rams. We have Matthew Stafford checking in around the eighth round with an ADP of 92. Cam Akers is a third round pick. His ADP is 42 or early four. Daryl Henderson's ADP has fallen quite a bit since last year. He is at 134. Cooper Kupp is usually the fourth or fifth overall pick in fantasy. Allen Robinson now has his third team in the NFL with the Rams. His ADP is 67. And then Matthew Stafford, or Tyler Higbee's ADP is late round pick, 184 for the tight end there. And last year, Stafford, Davis, threw for 41 touchdowns and 4,600 yards, ended up winning the Super Bowl. It was a great story. But I guess the question is, does that story continue along this year? You mentioned it. His ADP somewhere around the eighth round. He's a borderline starter for most in fantasy football, but I tend to agree with you. I think that of that range of quarterbacks between like 10 and 15, he seems pretty safe.
He does seem pretty safe, and you also know that you're going to have some good spike weeks with him, you know, when Van Jefferson scores one of those long touchdowns, the three-touchdown Cooper Kupp games. Last year, Stafford had multiple four-touchdown games and had four games with more than 330 passing yards, obviously did phenomenally in the playoffs. You know, three touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Probably the interesting thing, you'd win some bar trivia on this if you asked who led the NFL in interceptions last season. I don't think that very many people would have guessed Matthew Stafford. You know, maybe they would have guessed Fields or Lawrence or one of the young guys who was kind of struggling to make their way. And I actually think that's kind of what makes Matt Stafford good. You know, if you look at the way Aaron Rodgers has played over the years, he's very, very conservative. I believe Aaron Rodgers' career interception rate is below 1% of his attempts. And that was the big difference between the Jared Goff Rams and the Matthew Stafford Rams is they turned the ball over more, but they were taking way more shots down the field. I think everyone remembers Odell Beckham's first game as a Los Angeles Ram where he scores the long touchdown. Van Jefferson scores the 75-yard touchdown. Like, that just makes them very hard to defend. And I would anticipate more of that this season. You know, I think the aggressive down the field throwing is basically what makes the Rams a Super Bowl contender because not very many teams are able to do that efficiently. One thing we've seen in the NFL is that the average depth of target, so how far quarterbacks are throwing the ball down the field, has decreased every year for the last 6 years in the NFL. And the Rams are kind of zigging while everyone else is zagging. And I think that makes them more effective.
Yeah, no, definitely the case, and very well coached, as you said, and that's why fantasy is so appealing for this team. Speaking of which, Cam Akers was one of the bigger stories of last year, returning very early from an ACL injury, and you know, what a really great story it was, but unfortunately didn't look very good when he came back. Now, a lot can be attributed to that, and I guess that's why we'll do a deeper dive here. His ADP is 18 in terms of running backs taken. His positional ranking is 18, and overall is going approximately in the third round. So what's interesting, Davis, is that had Cam Akers come back last year and look great, he'd probably be a first-round pick in fantasy football. But for some reason, whatever we saw in that last month and leading up to the Super Bowl is giving people some pause for sure. Why is he going so low in fantasy football drafts?
Yeah, I actually think the fact that he came back has had a negative impact on his ADP. I think if he just returned in the offseason, gave us, you know, if he was active in the preseason, got a couple carries in the preseason, I would probably anticipate him being something like a like a 2-3 turn pick, kind of where Leonard Fournette and Nick Chubb are going. But these were his stat lines after returning from that Achilles injury. 5 carries for 3 yards, 17 carries for 55 yards, 24 carries for 48 yards, 13 for 48, 13 for 21 in the Super Bowl, averaged 2.4 yards per carry after returning from that Achilles injury. And then you compare that with what Darrell Henderson did. And of course, Henderson had kind of been banged up. And that was why I think Akers rushed back, was that they just couldn't count on Henderson to stay healthy. But he averaged almost 5 yards per carry last season, was far better in the passing game than Akers was. Sean McVay was talking to the media 2 weekends ago, and he said he viewed the backfield as having 2 starters, right? So he's got Cam Akers and he's got Darrell Henderson, a 1A and a 1A, kind of like the Green Bay Packers situation. I think Akers is honestly a terrible pick where he goes in fantasy football drafts. I prefer the guys who go directly behind him: Tony Pollard, A.J. Dillon, Eli Mitchell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Antonio Gibson. I think all of those guys are better picks than Akers, because it would be very strange to me to see Akers have, you know, a 70-30 dominant split over Darrell Henderson in this backfield, considering that Akers is not a particularly good passing down back and Henderson is. So Henderson, to me, is the far better selection at cost.
Yeah, and I remember us talking about him a lot last year as we take a look at Henderson, and he was on my teams last year for sure. And it was super frustrating because when he was on the field, Davis, he looked like one of the best running backs in the NFL. But every time he got hit, I was worried he was going to miss 3 weeks. And usually that was the case. So maybe Akers being healthy ends up helping him this season. But I think you have to eliminate the idea of Henderson being a primary back. But certainly starting him as a RB2 or a flex, I think that's got to be in play, provided he has some help. I just don't think he could do it all by himself.
I mean, I think that's probably the theory that the team is using. It really would not surprise me if in week 1, the Los Angeles Rams take the field and Darrell Henderson leads the backfield in touches. You know, he's playing on third downs. He's getting the check downs from Matthew Stafford, working in pass protection. But they have a very good insurance policy in a guy they took in the 2nd round, Cam Akers, where or maybe it truly is a 50-50, you know, kind of like Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in Cleveland, where they really do split the work to kind of keep both of those guys fresh. I think one of the big things working in both their favor is rookie 4th-round pick Kyron Williams got injured in the offseason. He's not going to know the playbook. He's not going to be good to go. Sonny Michel, I suppose, could reemerge on the roster after getting cut by the Dolphins. But, they, you know, teams that don't have a good third back, I think, are a great spot to target both of the running backs.
Yeah, what would throw a monkey wrench in this, you're right, is if Sony Michel came back, but if Sony Michel was the primary running back for the Los Angeles Rams in the last couple months.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Months of the season, so that would be a huge game changer for them if it happens. Still to be determined. Coming up next, we continue our preview of the Los Angeles Rams, and we'll focus in on the wide receivers and tight ends next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our fantasy football preview of the Los Angeles Rams continuing here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Thanks for being part of our show today. Hopefully you have a great fantasy football season. Maybe we'll help you out with some opinions here on the Rams. Let's start off with their average draft positions. Davis and I are going through everyone here on the show on their team. We already took a look at their quarterback and running backs, and now here are their wide receivers. Cooper Kupp is ADP is 4, which basically means he's the 4th overall pick. Cam Akers, somewhere around the 3rd, 4th round, who we already discussed. We'll hit on Allen Robinson. And naturally, we talked about Matthew Stafford and Daryl Henderson. You can find that on demand or just hit rewind if you're watching us live. All right, so Cooper Kupp is one that I tend to doubt, Davis. Why do I doubt? I look at huge numbers in sports for anyone and say they can't do that again. That's just generally the thinking, is that when you put up a historical season like he did, the thought process has got to be he can't do it again. I thought that last year. I was wrong. You went above every number again. So, Davis, I will ask you again. 3 years in a row for Cooper Kupp. Buying in on this once more.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper Kupp is a phenomenal player. He's got multiple 1,000-yard seasons under his belt, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns in 2019, 950 yards, 3 touchdowns, a little bit of a downturn for him in 2020. Then the team trades for Matthew Stafford, and far and away, Cooper Kupp was the biggest beneficiary. But also remember, before Robert Woods tore his ACL last season, he had played in 9 games. He had 5 touchdowns. He had 600 receiving yards and 50 rushing yards. Like, he was also having a pretty good season. And it really was just those two guys. Van Jefferson wasn't contributing. Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett weren't really earning targets. Daryl Henderson was doing fine. I would say probably the biggest thing in Cooper Kupp's corner is teams had every opportunity to stop him last season. You know, the Rams played 4 playoff games. And if you take out, you know, even if you take out some of the huge explosive games at the beginning of the season, where it seemed like no one was quite ready for Cooper Kupp moving out of the slot, coming out of the backfield, like, they had 21 games of film to look at the Rams offense and say, how do we stop Cooper Kupp, even after Odell Beckham Jr. tore his ACL in the Super Bowl, and it's like Van Jefferson is running on fumes and Kendall Blanton is out there. The Bengals still could not stop Cooper Kupp. He had a couple key receptions in the second half of that Super Bowl win. In fact, I remember thinking that Cooper Kupp maybe should have won Super Bowl MVP. Of course, you know, does not end up winning. They always give it to the quarterback. But I have basically no hesitation taking Cooper Kupp where he goes. And in fact, he is now going after Justin Jefferson. And, like, I mean, is there a reasonable argument that you could take Jefferson or Chase over him? Sure. But then when you start getting into, do we take Cooper Kupp or Devontae Adams? Do we take Cooper Kupp or CeeDee Lamb? Cooper Kupp or Travis Kelce? I think it's clearly Cooper Kupp. I mean, there is actually probably an argument that Cooper Kupp could maybe even be targeted more this season than in last season, right? Allen Robinson maybe starts a little bit slow. They don't have a second receiving tight end. Odell Beckham Jr., if he even does end up re-signing with the Rams, which some people are speculating because it's so close to the season and he hasn't been signed, he won't be active until November or December. I mean, Cooper Kupp could see a Devontae Adams-esque target share. I mean, Cooper Kupp last season only 191 targets, but compare that to some of the wide receiver one seasons we've seen in the past. Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas, Devontae Adams, all of those guys have 200 plus target seasons. So maybe a hot take, but I actually could see Cooper Kupp declining in efficiency, but improving in volume this season.
Mm. Yeah, and all those players you mentioned, 16-game seasons, not 17, too. Something to consider there as they've added a game in the NFL, no doubt. All right, so, you know, a range of outcomes is interesting for me on the next player we're going to talk about here, and Allen Robinson, because all we've heard over the last 7 years or 6 years, however long it's been, is that he's never had a good quarterback throwing to him. That's valid. It's been Blake Bortles. It's been guys in Jacksonville, guys in Chicago. And now he finally has Matthew Stafford with him. But Allen Robinson is not 24 years old anymore either. So I wonder from your perspective, Davis, is this just that simple where he now has Stafford and then he becomes Robert Woods, you know, from years past, 1,000 yards, 6-7 touchdowns? Or is the outcome, I mean, who knows? I mean, Julio Jones went to a new team. It didn't work out for him either. And again, more significant injuries for Julio Jones than Allen Robinson, let's be clear. But I think there's a range here. I don't know what the middle ground is. He's an intriguing player for me this year.
He is a very intriguing player because we really have not seen Allen Robinson do it in, 5 years at this point. The last time we saw him be super productive, you go back and look at his 2015 season in Jacksonville, 151 targets, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns. Then the next season in Jacksonville, weirdly enough, exactly 151 targets again, but only 73 receptions, 883 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Then he gets traded to Chicago. He's kind of fine the first 2 years in Chicago, 154 targets, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, basically fine for those first two seasons in Chicago, 2019 and 2020. Then last season, he's not even injured, truly not even injured out there playing. And Craig, he just stunk. I mean, there's no way around it, getting out-targeted by Darnell Mooney, getting out-targeted by Cole Kmet, not able to get open at all. And I think you could probably argue, well, Allen Robinson didn't really care. He's catching passes from Andy Dalton. The team is tanking. Like, they don't really care. Everyone hates Matt Nagy. Everyone's just like, I can't play for Matt Nagy. I don't care. I get it. This is a pretty big bet, though. And I think kind of the interesting dynamic is people treat the guys who go around him, Gabriel Davis, Marquise Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, they treat them like those are more risky commodities. And that's kind of what is pushing Allen Robinson up. I think Allen Robinson is riskier than all those guys. I mean, I think Gabriel Davis is a slam dunk over Allen Robinson. I think Smith-Schuster is a slam dunk over Allen Robinson because I don't really have any concerns over Gabriel Davis's ability. I don't really have any concerns about Smith-Schuster's ability when he's available in that offense. But Allen Robinson is heading into his age 29 season, and I don't know if he's still that good. I mean, when is the last time we saw Allen Robinson just beat some great cornerback, get open? And obviously Matthew Stafford will be the best quarterback he's ever played with. And I might look so stupid saying these things in 2 months. Allen Robinson's having a great time. He's in the sunshine in LA. Cooper Kupp is taking the safety away from him, and he's just beating these secondary corners. So, like, I get his ADP, but very rarely am I rushing up to the podium to go select him. I think he's a break-even pick where he's going, but kind of unlike the T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Godwin Evans thing, I don't really foresee a world where Allen Robinson could outscore Kupp in fantasy points if they're both healthy.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating player. You're right, and you make a lot of really sound points. There are some people who, and I see in the fantasy community, who think that he could actually be bad but have a good season with the way that the Rams offense is, 50 catches, 600 yards, catch a bunch of touchdowns, be viable to play as a wide receiver 3. But who knows? There are some significant ranges of outcome for sure. All right, let's go over to tight end. And as I look at Tyler Higbee here, I guess I'm missing something here because it feels like Stafford has used the tight end and the Rams have used the tight end in the past. And yet Higbee is essentially not only not a starter in fantasy football as a tight end, but barely inside the top 200. So what am I missing here? Ben Skowronek and some of these extra receivers that they have without Beckham, at least at the moment, I'm screaming, why is Higbee not 4 catches, 40 yards, like every single week, which is, a top 10 tight end, top 15 tight end? What gives here? What am I missing?
I mean, I think probably what drafters are correctly assuming is Higbee might be a pretty good bet to finish tight end 10, but there is no chance he is finishing tight end 4, right? And that is really the difference. Of course, everyone remembers that crazy run that Tyler Higbee had in 2019. I mean, for people who have forgotten, this run, this is like a Gronkian level run, starting in week 13, 7 for 107 and a touchdown, 7 for 111, 12 for 111, 9 for 104, 8 for 84 and a touchdown to end the season. He goes really, really high the next year, right, and does nothing, right? 2020, he ends with 44 catches, 521 yards, 5 touchdowns, more of the same. Last season, 61, 5, 60, and 5. And that's probably what he's going to do this year, right? Which where he goes is actually a great selection. I love taking Tyler Higbee in best ball or in tight end premium leagues, because exactly what you said, if you want someone who's going to go out there, go 4 for 40, maybe give you a 30% chance of a touchdown, why not, right? I mean, that is a good selection. Higbee is a huge favorite to out-earn where he is being drafted. But then looking at some of the guys who go around him, Albert O, Irv Smith, Brevin Jordan, I mean, I think all of those guys are probably more likely or have a greater chance of finishing as like the tight end 6 or whatever. So the market is pretty efficient, but depending on the type of team you draft, Higbee does make a good bit of sense.
All right, so let's close it out with any names we didn't mention. I'm rooting for Skowronek, Davis, because that was like my biggest football card pull in the last year. I got like some crazy auto of him, so I'm hoping he blows up in some way. When Beckham didn't re-sign, I was like, ooh, maybe I'll get $100 for this card someday. I don't know much about him, honestly. Is there anyone on the Rams that we haven't talked about here worth drafting?
I mean, Tutu Atwell is like theoretically the guy. He has a good amount of draft capital. They took him 57th overall last season, and then he played 11 offensive snaps. He was really only used as a kick and punt returner. He is listed at 165 pounds. That's generous, but he is probably going to be active and play for them in week one, so we'll see.
All right, Tutu Atwell. Add him to the list, and as Davis mentioned earlier, if Sony Michel signs with the Rams, we're going to have a different conversation about this team tomorrow, that's for sure. All right, that's our look at the Rams. We'll do another team tomorrow here on the program as we continue our fantasy football previews here on Sports Grid. We'll be back with Fantasy Reality next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We got Fantasy Reality coming up. For those of you on social media, you want to follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread, and videos. Upcoming college football week one, getting ready to get underway. Of course, all of our hosts are talking about that, as well as the NFL, which begins 1 week from Thursday. Davis, today is cut down day in the NFL, so is tomorrow. And naturally, the quarterbacks being cut are probably not going to be fantasy relevant at all. But boy, it does seem like the Minnesota Vikings just had a huge swing and a miss on former college quarterback Kellen Mond, who, boy, watching him in college, I didn't get why they even took him. I think we talked about this last year. The hope is, I guess, he'll catch on with like a practice squad or someone else. Very hard for a quarterback to get cut right now and then make an active roster because, you know, the quarterbacks know the game plan and everything else. But certainly seems one of the higher quarterbacks taken a couple of years ago is going to have an uphill battle getting back in.
Yeah, the way that old Vikings coach Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings beat writers talk about Kellen Mond, they just make him sound completely hopeless. One of the athletic beat writer for Minnesota, Arif Hassan, someone asked him to say the nicest thing he could about Kellen Mond last week, and he said he's trying, right? So that's about the kindest thing you can say about Kellen Mond. And I kind of liked him at Texas A&M, and he's sort of that profile of quarterback that we like, right? Like we like guys who are like athletic. They can get outside of the pocket, they can move a little bit, but Mond seems like he's having a tough time, you know, kind of developing his game at the next level. To be honest, I think probably the next time we will see Kellen Mond will be the XFL this spring. You know, when it's April, March, May, I think we will probably see Kellen Mond show up on one of those squads. And yeah, I will probably be tuned in for that, because this is so neither here nor there, but the XFL product in 2020 was so much better than the USFL product this season. And I think the quarterbacks they were able to draw was part of that.
All right. Well, we will see, and we'll wish Kellen Mond the best wherever he ends up. Let's talk more quarterbacks. It's time for some fantasy or reality. Well, Davis, one of the more polarizing figures in college football remains Jim Harbaugh. If you remember a year ago at this time, if you looked at odds as potentially firing college coaches, you would have had Jim Harbaugh right at the top. His team puts together a phenomenal season last year. They get to the playoff. They beat Ohio State, and now Harbaugh's like ruling the world now again. In fact, ruling the world to the point where he's made a very interesting call to start Michigan's season, announcing last week that he's going to start his starting quarterback, Cade McNamara, in the first game, and then the backup quarterback in the second game, and then whoever is better in the first and second game is going to start the third game of the college football season. Don't see this too often, usually. In fact, I don't think you ever see this. Usually you just see the two quarterbacks exchanging snaps, and then you pick the best one and you go. Or you just use both all season, who knows. But what's interesting is that Harbaugh, in talking to reporters, called the quarterback battle biblical, referring to the Bible and referring to Solomon, and a lot of other things that I did not expect to read when we were talking about this before the show today. But fantasy reality, Davis, I guess we'll use his term. Michigan's quarterback battle is biblical.
Yeah, this is a fantasy, because it would only be of that large of an importance if I thought that Michigan could win the college football playoff. And I don't think Michigan has any chance of winning the college football playoff. I mean, obviously, Alabama is going to be far and away. Ohio State is the much better, you know, Big Ten team. In fact, I actually think at some books, Ohio State is maybe even favored over Alabama to win the championship this year. And if you look at Ohio State's roster, C.J. Stroud, Jackson Smith, and I mean, Ohio State is going to be a nasty college football team this year. So I think this is Jim Harbaugh putting a little bit of ceremonial importance upon his team. And Craig, you know, what is the old saying in football go? If you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks. I think that is the exact situation that Michigan finds themselves in. So I got fantasy here. I think Harbaugh is blowing a little bit of smoke here.
Yeah, well, listen, if he calls it that, then I'll go with it and say reality. It is biblical. But, you know, given the fact that, you know, his Bible and my Bible are two different things. And again, you know, I just have no idea what he's talking about. But I got reality here, because if he says it's biblical, sure, put on the khaki pants, beat Ohio State one time, and totally rejuvenate a fan base for your coaching legacy in Michigan. I think that that's cool. So fascinating to me to see how this changed, by the way, with him, Davis. Had Michigan lost to Ohio State last year and not made the playoff, I think there's a chance Harbaugh's coaching in the NFL again. But instead, it's just like a whole new thing, contract extension, the whole nine yards. I guess it's reality. If he says it's true, it is. And I like personalities in the NFL or in college. I don't dislike Jim Harbaugh at all. Anything that gets us talking about things on this show that gives us content, I'm all for. So reality for Michigan. Jimmy Garoppolo restructured his contract with the San Francisco 49ers. A lot of people are saying this was a good move for the 49ers because it gives them the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And sort of thinking this through, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it is close for sure. I mean, you would put Jimmy G near or close to the top, making an interesting choice. And as part of the restructuring of the contract, my understanding is Jimmy G is then free to go wherever he wants after this season. And the expectation is that he'll get a starting gig somewhere in 2023. Fantasy or reality, Davis, though, playing behind Trey Lance, Jimmy G will start more than two games for the 49ers this season. We'll include playoffs for this as well. More than two games.
Yeah, this is not happening. This is a fantasy. I mean, I suppose Trey Lance could always get injured, but the reason why Jimmy Garoppolo signed this contract extension and why the 49ers offered it to him was they were about to lose him for nothing. So if they traded him, Jimmy G would make less money, and the money that Jimmy G counted against the cap would be dead money, right? So it would be money that the 49ers can't spend, that they're paying a player who can't pay, you know, they're paying a player who is not on their roster. It also meant that Jimmy could not control where he signed. You know, he could be claimed by anybody. This deal, really what it amounts to is the 49ers giving Jimmy G about $14 million in order to choose where he gets to play. So they gave him a no trade clause. But really what that means is Jimmy can say, you know what? I don't really want to go to Carolina. I don't really want to go to Seattle. I'd prefer to play for Tampa Bay. Right. I'd prefer to play for Dallas. I'd prefer to play for the Jets, right? And it also, you know, the way that this contract is aligned is it's mostly incentives. About half of the money is guaranteed and half of it is incentives. So this actually makes it, I think, more likely that Jimmy G gets traded than it would have been had he was just on the one-year deal today, because whoever trades for Jimmy Garoppolo now is going to have him under control instead of having to renegotiate and give him whatever contract his agent was demanding. This truly, to me, feels like a win-win. The 49ers get a little bit of insurance if Trey Lance is injured or if he just stinks, right? If they're through three games and Trey Lance has got five interceptions and has lost a fumble and just looks totally lost, then they can go back to Jimmy. But if the Lance thing is going okay, you know, he's running, the defense is doing their job, and the 49ers, by the way, start the year with a super easy schedule. They play the Bears and the Seahawks. So I think the emotions on Trey Lance are probably going to be riding pretty high after two games. And then, you know, let's say Dak Prescott rolls his ankle, right? Or let's say Brady has to miss a month or, you know, just something along those lines. Then Jimmy G is the most affordable, easy, attractive quarterback option on the market. I got fantasy here.
Yeah, I will say fantasy, but I do think it's close. I think he's going to spend the entire year in San Francisco. It's just a matter of injury. And that's a hard question to answer here. Lance did get hurt last year, but the number I feel like we're talking about is pretty solid. Like, if you said it was probably one game this year, I'd say reality. If you said two, I would say maybe, but three does feel high. It means like, boy, that's a pretty significant injury at that point for a quarterback. Also, when you mix in the bye weeks as well. But the point that you make about picking his future, I think that is the best point of all, because the odds of Rodgers and Brady 2 years from now still being in the NFL seems so slim, and he could pick his great spot for him if he chose to do that. So I would say fantasy on those two. By the way, before we go to the third question, do you think that is true? Do you think he is the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now? Is Minshew number one and then Garoppolo, or is Garoppolo ahead of him?
I mean, without going through all 32 teams, I would guess that Jimmy G is probably pretty close. I mean, the thing about Jimmy is you can like win 10 or 11 games with him, but how many times have we seen this dude in big games? He will not throw it all over the middle of the field, and he is a horribly inaccurate deep passer. So like the two things that kind of bring you from a B minus team to an A minus team in terms of quarterbacking play, he can't do. But he, yeah. I would say as of right now, he probably is the best. I would say that is likely true.
Okay, and listen, there's not a long list of great backup quarterbacks in the NFL, that is for sure. All right, let's move on to the fall. As we're approaching September, that means it's time for pumpkin, it's time for October, it's time for Halloween and Thanksgiving and everything else. We're closing in on all that. The summer's coming to an end. And Davis, naturally, that means the menu changes all over when you're driving and looking for your fresh cup of coffee. And maybe perhaps you go to Starbucks. Fantasy or reality, someone in your household is excited for the Starbucks fall menu. And I think, to be fair to Dunkin' Donuts, we could probably throw them in there too. I know a lot of people like Dunkin' Donuts. My wife actually prefers Dunkin' Donuts coffee over Starbucks. We have two different coffee makers in our house. So fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is a reality. Although I am not a pumpkin spice latte guy, I like the pumpkin cream cold brew from Starbucks. Now I've been trying to break the dependency on Starbucks because they are a huge union busting company. They literally hired former FBI officials to union bust at some of their local stores. So I've been trying to break the Starbucks dependency in my household, but I got to be 100% honest. I got to keep it real for the viewers of Fantasy Sports Today. I definitely, a minimum of like three times this fall, I will go to Starbucks and I will get a big venti pumpkin cream cold brew from Starbucks, no doubt about it.
Yeah, this is fantasy for me. I just have never gotten into the pumpkin stuff. Never have done it, whether it's been at Dunkin' or even at Starbucks. I'm just a regular one coffee a day guy, and that's it. My daughter's is not a coffee drinker. Would she have one in the next 4 months, 5 months? Yeah, I mean, I guess that could be the case, but I don't think that I'll be asked to go get one, and my wife definitely not. So I am gonna say fantasy for me, but I didn't know that about the union stuff, Davis. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Usually, I'm just like the bag of coffee, the beans, and then I have the grinder, and then make it in the morning, pop it in, and I'm done for the day. And it's usually Starbucks.
Yeah, we do French we do the French press in my house, but we do it cold. So I make it the night before, I mix the grounds and the water up the night before, leave it in the refrigerator, and boom, you got French press cold brew, and oh, it's delicious. That is my preferred method of coffee consumption these days.
All right, fair enough. And that's our fantasy reality for the day. We'll have another one tomorrow. If you have a question for us for fantasy reality, hit us up on Twitter at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV, hashtag fantasy or reality, and maybe we'll answer that question for you here on the show tomorrow or the next day as well. We got the SportsGrid 60 coming up next. Kevin and Donnie with the early line at the top of the hour. I'm back with you for Newswire at 2 o'clock Eastern. So stay on the grid as we come back and wrap up our Tuesday edition of FST. In just a couple of minutes, we'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One other quarterback cut to mention, Josh Rosen, a former second-round pick, first-round pick in the NFL, cut by the Cleveland Browns, looking for another team now in the NFL is Josh Rosen. Just want to mention that before we end the show. We'll have more cuts coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern on Newswire. Here's Davis with the Sports Grid 60.
This is a big day in the NFL and for a lot of us in fantasy football. But something I do always like to do is, a lot of these guys getting cut, a lot of these guys moving teams. Like it's, I think it's pretty easy to forget that for a lot of these guys, like this is the end of a dream. This is their they were on an NFL roster, they were sitting there in preseason. They're a lot of these guys very anxiously probably waiting by the phone or, they're at the practice facility and the coach has to come and tell them that they didn't make the final 53 or they're headed to the practice squad. So, just a little reminder that Tyler Johnson gets cut today. Like let's try not to do too many victory laps about these guys losing their jobs and having to uproot their families and stuff, because it's not fun for anyone.
Nope, very well said for sure. I don't know if you guys caught this over the weekend, but a Mickey Mantle 1952 Bowman sold for over $12 million, graded by SGC. And naturally, that led to a lot of questions here in my household, specifically from my wife, which is, why don't you have that Mickey Mantle card? Why didn't we make $12 million off that card? Not fully understanding the nature of how that works. Sports cards over the last year or two has tanked dramatically in terms of how much cards are worth. Everything has gone down significantly. But it's good to see that I could get called out for a card that I don't have in my own house and didn't provide a $12 million outcome to that as well. That'll do it for our show today. Thanks to our great graphics department, Steve, of course, and thanks to LTN for our producer, Brett Levy, my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Tomorrow, we'll be right back here with another fantasy football preview with another NFL team. I hope to see you then. If you are gone for the day here on Sports Grid, enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you tomorrow here at 11 a.m. Eastern. Bye.